Let's go to Genesis 15, and that was enough to shout and praise the Lord about. But let me give you something real quick. We were preaching through the book of Genesis, and I could preach through the whole chapter, but we'll see what the Lord does here in the next few minutes. All right, I won't keep you long. But Genesis 15, and let's have a word of prayer, and we'll read this. Father, I again just want to pause and thank you for delivering Alonzo. Thank you so much. He's my friend. And Lord, I praise you, Lord, for getting him home safely. Thank you for his son getting home safely. And Father, I just praise you for that. And I ask you, Lord, just please be with the service now as we look at this message and your word tonight. Pray, encourage our hearts again. In your name I pray. Amen. Genesis 15, verse number 1 says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and toward the stars, if thou be able to number them. He said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? He saith to him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took him unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against the other. But the birds divided he not. We'll stop there. I'm going to look at this real quick. We're looking at, in our big outline of the book, Roman number 5, The Chosen. We're looking at these different men that God chose to use in a great and wonderful way. We start here with Abraham, which covers chapter 12 all the way to verse number 25 in the book of Genesis. And we saw in our outline, chapter number 12, we saw the path of faith that Abraham was on. Then we saw the price of faith in chapter 13, then the power of faith in chapter 14. And now in chapter number 15, we're looking at what we've outlined as the pledge of faith. The pledge of faith. I found it very interesting when I was studying for this message tonight. It says in verse number 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram. After these things. After what things? That's what I ask myself. You know, the Lord comes, and in this chapter, he confirms his covenant promise to Abraham, that he's going to have, you know, a great nation. And God was going to bless him. He specifically says there in verse number 1, not to fear. He said, I am thy two things. What two things in verse number 1? Your shield and thy exceeding great what? Reward. Now, how does the verse start? After these things. Well, after what things? Let's review chapter 14. What happened? In chapter 14, there were 5 kings that fought against 4 other kings. Had nothing to do with Abraham, other than the fact that the five kings lived Abraham's nephew Lot. You remember those 4 kings conquered the 5 kings and took all of the spoils from the cities, and also took captive the citizens of those cities to make them slaves. Some of those citizens were Lot, Abram's nephew, and his wife and his children. And so, but Abram, when he heard of these things, he got 318 men, which wasn't much compared to the others who were fighting. And then he went, and they were armed and trained with their sword, and they went during the night, and they rescued and got back all of the servants and all of the stuff that had been taken. And on their way back, we know the king of Sodom, who was in charge of that city, he went down to go talk to Abram. Everybody with me? And he was going to talk to him. Remember what he's going to say. He said, you keep all the stuff, just give me all the people. And while the king of Sodom was on his way, we know of the king of Salem who first came and talked to Abram. I believe that to be a Christophany, which is a big fancy word to mean that I believe Christ himself appeared to Abram here. Claimed to be Melchizedek, the king of peace. And when Abram saw him, he worshipped him. They lifted up the name of God. Abram gave him tithes of everything that he owned. And this king reminded Abram that the God that he served was an all-powerful God. And the God that he served was the possessor, not just of a few things in a city, but the possessor of everything in the heavens and the earth. Well, they worshipped the Lord. Abraham gave him a tithe of what he had. The king Melchizedek left, and then the king of Sodom showed up. And the king said, hey, you know, just give me all the people, you keep all the stuff. But Abram said, I'm not taking anything. He said, and again, we talked about it, his God's a whole lot bigger and a whole lot richer than anything the world can offer. He said, I don't want you to ever be able to point and say, you made me rich, any blessings I have are because of God. And so the king of Sodom took all the stuff, took all the people, and headed back home. During that time, you know, there's a little bit of time when Lot and his children, they went to their, no doubt, their great uncle Abram. The sound of children would have thrilled his heart. But here he sits with no children. Silence fills the camp. All that stuff that he got is gone. All the people that were around him were gone. And let's think, just as any other human being would, he just went and did that to those four kings. How would you be thinking? He's a marked man. When news would get back to Chedorlaomer's towns and all the people, you would have thought this, right? I mean, y'all looking at me really weird. You go in and march in some country and take all the possessions and take a bunch of people and leave victoriously, they're not going to think kindly of you. And these other kings, no doubt it went through Abram's mind, they may be coming. You following me? That's why the Bible says, after these things, all that happened in chapter 14, God came to Abram. And what does he tell Abram? What's the first words in verse number 1? Fear not. Now, if you just read it, you don't think about it, you don't think much about that fear not. I mean, he had just won a victory. I mean, he just won. Right? I mean, here he is. Why would God need to say, hey, don't be afraid? He wasn't going to battle, he'd come back. But obviously, on his mind, there was some fear here. Obviously, on his mind, he's thinking, what if they come back? And so God says, fear not. And then the Lord says this, I am thy what? I've got you, Abram. And, remember all that stuff they took? I am thy what? Exceeding great reward. That's pretty encouraging when you stop and think about it. God knew what was going on in Abram's heart. And God knew how to give him strength. But also he addresses the child thing with Abram too. Because this is on his mind. Probably came back to his mind because all of Lot's children are bouncing around playing. And I mean, I'm just speaking as a family person. You know, Uncle Abram probably bounced one of those kids on his knees. He probably hugged their neck when they left. I don't know how old Lot's children were. They were younger here than what we find them later. Maybe one of them was a young child. I don't know. But when he left, his mind was thinking about it. And God comes to him and encourages him. And when I say a pledge of faith, the pledge is from God. God is coming to say, hey, be of faith. It's going to be okay. Things are going to be okay. With this understanding, let's look at the few verses here. First of all, in verses 1 through 7, we have the building of Abram's family. The building of Abram's family. Again, he tells him to fear not. I'll be your shield. I'll be your exceeding great reward. He encourages Abram's heart here. And no doubt says, if they try to revenge these four kings, I'm your shield. And you know what? That's a pretty safe place to be. I had a conversation with Brother Harris. Of course, he had a little scare a few weeks ago. And then now this happened, which Alonzo getting kidnapped had nothing to do with him being a member of the church. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. But the threat is real. You know, Brother Harris looked at me through our app there, and we're having face-to-face conversation. He said, "Preacher, I believe I'm where I need to be." And I said, "Brother Harris, right now I know you're where you're supposed to be too. And there's not a safer place to be in the world than in the center of God's will. And we have to trust the Lord." And so we see the building of Abram's family, and Abram's going to get encouraged here. First of all, verses 1 through 4, by the word of God's power. The word of God's power. Abram would be greatly encouraged about his family because God said so. He makes this pledge in verse number 1. And no doubt Abram, things would have been very lonely at that moment. The whole crowd of people's gone. All the wagons full of stuff is gone. All the family and the kids are gone. And he's sitting there. And God says, "It's going to be okay. You still have me. And I promise if it's not, but if that were all that we had, we're still on the winning side." Now we're surrounded with far great blessings, but God said, "You still have me. I'll be your shield. Don't worry about the kings. I'll be your reward. Don't worry about stuff." You see the pledge in verse number 1, and then you see a plea in verse 2 and 3. The plea. Abram says, "You know, I know I have much, but I don't have a son. I don't have a son." In Abram's word, we've already read the verses, but basically what he said was, "What's it matter if I have all kinds of riches, but there's no one to pass it along to?" He said, "If my family dies with me and I go childless," as he said, he said, "Well, what to do then?" I do want to point this out for sake, because many times this is an issue. Notice what he said in verse number 2. Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless?" Again, we have to be careful when we read the Word of God. You know, if you ever read a chapter and you don't get something, go back and read it again. Because there's so much in the Word of God. But he said, "I go childless." And first 10 times I read that, I didn't think anything about it. But I was rereading it again this week. I thought, you know, that's remarkable. Because a lot of times when things aren't going the way that we think they should go, we have a habit of blaming other people. We have excuses by pointing at other people. I think it's very fascinating that Abram didn't point at Sarah. And say, "But God, what's the point if I have all this stuff? Sarah's barren." He could have said that. But he didn't. He could have blamed God for it. "God, what's the point? You haven't given me any children." Be careful, because a lot of times when things aren't going our way, we have a habit of pointing our finger at other people and at God to blame Him or blame them when things aren't going right. You see a mark of a man that's thinking right here. He points to himself and he says, "I go childless." He's a maturing person. You see his pleas asking God, "What do I do?" But then you see the plan in verse number 4. "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir." Now Abram had brought up his servant Eleazar. And he was from Damascus. I mean, he was not born in his home. But he said, he's my servant. He's, you know, he was kind of his right-hand man. By the law, everything would pass on to him. And God says, no, everything's not going to Eleazar. Verse number 4, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." God said, I have a plan, don't you worry, you're going to have a son. You're going to have a son. So he promises it through the word of God's power, how this family is going to be built. Secondly, promises it through the witness of God's power. Through the witness of God's power. In verse 5 and 6, he has Abram there in verse number 5, he says, "Look up at the stars." He brings him out and he says, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them." Try counting the stars someday. Especially, go out somewhere where there's not streetlights, right? When Corby and Valerie's wedding was over, it's a great wedding, awesome night, beautiful. But as things were shutting down, everyone was leaving, my wife and I We're outside of town. We're on this ranch. And all of a sudden, we stopped at the car and we looked up. It was like nothing I'd ever seen before.
Right.
Valerie probably take it for granted. You were spoiled, right? You know. But for the first time in my life, we could see the Milky Way.
Right. Yeah.
It was incredible. We're like, whoa. And stars, they got a lot more stars in Colorado than we do. Just kidding. It's not true. Never mind. All right, but you could see. I can't imagine. In case you don't know, there were no street lights during this time. All right? No cities to brighten up the light. All right? When they walked out, he said, look up. I'm assuming, but I'm pretty sure it was a pretty clear night that night. God would make sure, right? Count the stars. I'm sure Abram's like, one, this is impossible, right? And God said, so shall thy seed be. Abram, I promise, look at what I can do with creation. And I find it very interesting, and this may be as far as we get tonight, but it just, this verse here, verse number 5, he says there, look now toward heaven and tell the stars that thou be able to number them. He said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Verse 6, and he believed in the Lord. And he counted it to him for righteousness. Stop and think about what we just read right there. He counted it to him for righteousness. This is one of those moments as I'm studying, preparing for the message, that I kind of sat back in my chair, pushed back a little bit, and said, huh. Now, what am I thinking? We read this last week. Look, glance real quick in Galatians in the New Testament in chapter number 3. In Galatians chapter number 3 and in verse number 6. In Galatians chapter 3 and in verse number 6. In Galatians chapter 3 and in verse number 6. The Bible says this, Galatians 3:6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That sounds like what we just read. Amen? Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And then I started thinking, when Melchizedek came, he set before Abraham what? Bread and wine. He sits there, and of course, if your heart thinks like mine, all right, you know, without a doubt, you know, when we gather for a time of remembrance of the Lord's death, we take that bread, we take that cup, and this do in remembrance of Him. Amen? Amen? And we look back at what Jesus did for us on the cross. You and I are going to heaven not because of who we are. If you're going to heaven tonight, and I hope that you are, it's because of who Jesus is and what Jesus did for us. And the fact that we have put our faith in that. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible promises, thou shalt be saved. There must be a time in our life when we say, I am a sinner, but I believe, just as Abraham believed, that Jesus died upon the cross, that He shed His blood for us, that He rose again, that there is a judgment to come, but my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Abraham had to put his faith in what Christ would do. We put our faith in what Christ has done. Israel looked forward to what the Lord would do. That's, by the way, why they would work all the days and on the seventh day rest. Because they lived their life in light of what was to come. We start our day on a Sunday, the resurrection day, and we live our life looking back at what Christ has done. Amen? And so, listen to me, they in the Old Testament were saved just like us in this New Testament period. Saved by what the Lord Jesus Christ did upon the cross. Could it be? Now everybody look at me. This is a Travis Burke. Could it be? Make you think with me. Could it be that Melchizedek sat with Abraham? A lot of times we just assume, you know, Abraham was always saved. Well, he wasn't always saved. You weren't always saved. There had to be a time in your life when you chose to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Could it be Melchizedek sits down and has a conversation? Now, God was already blessing him. And it tends to me to be a true principle in the Word of God that the goodness of God leads men to repentance. Maybe, and this is just a maybe, maybe he brought forth that bread and brought that cup and said, let me tell you what's going to happen. Because the Bible specifically says that Abraham believed the gospel. That's what it says. And all of us look to Abraham as an example of faith. That's what we just read. Maybe Abraham, maybe, listen to what Melchizedek had to say. What would that have included? That there was one who was coming. Amen? There's one that's coming from your seat. That all nations will be blessed. When we get to chapter 15, he's still wondering. Is there really? Lord, I go childless. Right? The Lord says, look at the stars. And the Lord doesn't have to do anything other than say it, but he said it. The Word of God simply said, so shall thy seed be. And then when you read it, verse 6, and he, Abram, believed, not on the Lord, but he believed in the Lord. Believe what? Perhaps he's coming. Amen? He's coming. Whatever you want to say, when Abraham believed in the Lord, after looking at the stars and hearing this conversation, and he, God, counted it to him, Abraham, for righteousness. Perhaps this is where Abraham got saved. You see, but he was listening to God. Yep. There's a lot of people that God can speak to. He even spoke to a donkey one time. Amen? Amen. And if you say, I don't accept that, that's fine. That's cool. I don't really care. I just think it's at least worthy of stopping and thinking about. Because it specifically says that when Abraham obviously was struggling with the fact that he's not having children, but when he accepted the fact that, okay, God, I believe. And he just had a conversation with King Melchizedek, who, not by coincidence, set before him the cup and the bread, and they obviously have this conversation that leads to a fact of Abraham saying, I'm going to give you a tithe of everything. He obviously... But the Lord counted to him for righteousness, which is what Galatians says about the faith of all that are saved. Interesting, at least, amen? But a witness to God's power. I'll close this with verse number 7, a working of God's power. Again, he's showing how the family is going to be built. And he says, he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Abram, I didn't bring you all the way from that place out east to come and leave you here on your own. Abram, everything that I told you I'm going to do, I'm going to do. Amen. What I've started, I'm going to finish. He says there, to give thee this land to inherit it. This was going to be Abram. But listen real close. It's really important to note this. God didn't tell Abram that he was going to earn the land or win the land. God said, I'm going to give you this land. Right. The working in Abram's life was God working. Right. Yeah. And God's to get all the glory. Amen. So I close tonight and just saying a couple of things. Number one, if you don't know that you're going to heaven tonight, if you're not sure that heaven's your home, I got good news. God wants you to know that. Right. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants you to know this. And just like when I was 14, someone sat down with me and showed me how I could know I'm going to heaven. My friend, God, we can take the Word of God and show you how God says you can know you're going to heaven tonight. God wants you to know that. Just like Abraham, we have to believe in the Lord. If you're saved tonight, don't fear. No matter what you're looking at down the road, I know this world can be scary. But if you're walking with the Lord, He is your shield. We may struggle at times on this earth and see things slip away, but the Lord is our exceeding great reward. And the Lord's message is, fear not. Abram, no matter what happens, I'm here. And it's going to be okay. For us tonight, same message. No matter what we face in the days ahead, if you're saved, God's there. And He promised He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's going to see us through. And it will be His work.